Hello, DTR World. This is Coach Shaken Blake of the Mighty Fremont Tarzans. I'm here with Coach Iowa Banker of the Mesa Sorens. Is that how we say it?
Yeah, the Sonorans, coach.
Sorens. There we go. There we go. How are we doing today, Coach?
Hey, I'm doing great. Excited to talk some NTT Region 2 with you.
Oh yeah, for sure. We got Region 2 we're talking about today. We've got our first 116 matchup. We got the Salt Lake City Dinesens, coached by NTT kind of perennial Bills fan out of Conference 31. Won his regular season and his conference championship deservingly. That has the one seed. And then he's playing the Athens Vipers, who is out of Conference 13. They won their conference regular season, however, finished third in their conference championship. Not sure where they got upset. Probably second. Yeah. They've got beat by Savannah, five seed in their conference. Initial thoughts on this matchup.
Yeah, coach. Well, first let's look at the one seed. Let's look at Salt Lake City. As you said, Coach Bills perennially has his team in the NTT. 32nd appearance it looks like this season. They're there every year,
Basically.
and once again they're the one seed, and they're the one seed for a reason. This team looks pretty loaded. Obviously, it starts with Hayden Garcia. If I recall, I think last year he was the league player of the year. So
Was.
he's back doing what he does, which is basically everything at a very high level. And then you add in a freshman, big time scoring threat in the backcourt with Maxwell Williams. That's just an outstanding 1-2 punch. He's got two of the best players in the entire league on the same roster. So, you have two studs like that. It's no big surprise why they're a number one seed. A top 20 strength of schedule, and they plowed through with a 15-3 record. So, it starts and ends with those guys, but there's good supporting pieces as well. They have good size on their roster, 6'10", 6'11", 7'2" in the front court in that junior class. Shot blockers, excellent, efficient offense, great distributors, excellent defense. I don't know. I could sit here and talk about this team for there's an
Definitely.
awful lot to like, but I guess what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this team is crazy good. I mean, it seems like yeah, he I mean Hayden Garcia and Maxwell Williams, that this is the who they run through with Jeremy Diamond sort of coming in with that senior with a kind of a third man up. Yeah. Rolling with the really strong classes of the 6'2" juniors, who looks like he mostly has those three starting on most occasions, or at least he sort of toys his lineup around, and I'm guessing it's probably to free up Garcia to take advantage of whatever matchup he can get on defense, and maybe the same thing as Maxwell. Try to get a at least a point advantage, which I know I've done some this year, just trying to keep scoring. So yeah, this team is really good. The only thing I kind of see is that, so for context, they are the fifth highest team. However, they let up quite a few points also on the other end. They let up their top 40 and most points let up. Letting up nearly approaching 80 points a game at 78. I think that's kind of the one flaw you maybe could point at, and that they're not the most, yeah, they let up a lot of points basically.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess if we're gonna, pick nits a little bit, if you look at the bench, they don't have tremendous size in the front court. So if any of those big men run into foul trouble, you're not certainly coming out and putting a 7-footer or anything close to that on the court either. So they are a little smallish, in the backup, but again, just as far as a starting five, they can play with anybody in the country, I think.
Definitely 100%. Yeah, this team is locked and loaded and deserving of a one seed and the fourth overall and the strength 14 overall. Yeah, a couple just uncharacteristic losses. Nothing too I'd be too concerned about on their schedule, but yeah, they've been rolling. They'll probably keep their strong team. Looking at Athens here, they're a kind of a fun matchup. Kind of a little bit hard to tell exactly what they have due to that strength of schedule being is that bottom five, if I can do math, something like that, bottom 10, we'll just say, in the league. So kind of hard to tell what this team's really got when you got that low of a strength of schedule. Just look here. I guess you got any thoughts here on the Athens here?
Yeah. Kind of like you said, they're a team that certainly hasn't necessarily been challenged, excuse me, all that frequently in conference, in regular season champs. They did get upset in the semis. As opposed to Salt Lake that had a couple of superstars, this coach looks to me like a pretty balanced team. Have three players between 14 and 16 points a game, another one there just under 10. So essentially four starters scoring in double figures. They're pretty efficient offensively. They've got four starters that are between 50 and 60% true shooting. So I think they've got that, and especially as you mentioned with Salt Lake not being, the strongest defensively, I think they're a team that could at least keep up with them offensively, threaten them a little bit, make it interesting. Again, they've got, several people that can score. It looks like their point guard Williams looks like the probably their premier player, with his 20 game score, a guy that can is one of those three primary scorers, but also, outstanding distributor at 8 assists a game and what, five turnover ratio. So he looks like quite the player, but they have quite enough firepower. There are very few teams in the league that could keep up with Salt Lake. So I think it's a tough draw, but I think these guys are good enough to make it a little bit interesting. What do you think?
I agree. Yeah, I mean, if they can open up the game with David Williams, and just let him fly, I mean, they can at least they can hold up. I mean, like we said, Salt Lake's averaging 78 given up, and this team scoring 80. So as a team, so play a little defense, you can at least make it fun. We'll see. But yeah. I think we're leading Salt Lake either way on this, but it could be a fun matchup either way.
Yeah, I think Salt Lake wins, but I wouldn't be surprised if it if at least for maybe a half they get pushed pretty good by Athens.
Okay. All right, moving into the 8-9 here, we have the Dayton Electric out of Conference 16. They were a sixth seed in their conference tournament and ended up winning it. And then that we've got the Montpelier Peepers out of Conference 6. They won their regular season, however, got upset second round of the net in their tournament, but finished out. So, initial thoughts on this close matchup here?
Yeah, you kind of expect a good matchup with an 8-9, and I think, Coach, we've got it here. The electricity first, we'll talk about Dayton, the 8 seed. A few things jump out. Not the greatest record in the world, but obviously a strength of schedule of 6 means that they're playing some serious competition, and you can see that to be a team that finished 6th in your conference, but then is good enough to win the conference tournament. And honestly, with a 32 rank, might have been safe getting in even without that. So that shows how deep Conference 16 is. Patrick Stoffel, their power forward, looks like their star. A guy scoring 21 points a game. You don't see a lot of high scores from the powered forward position, so that makes them a little bit unique. Allen, he's a pretty efficient scorer, and again, decent ball handler and adequate rebounder for his size. They've got a big 7-footer. They pair along with him and Avery inside, so that's more of the defensive rebounding type. So it looks like a formidable front court. But again, they're not going to be afraid to go out there and play anybody because they're used to playing elite level of teams. And I think that kind of makes them tough to read from a statistical standpoint. You look at their stats and nothing really jumps off the page other than maybe they're a pretty strong rebounding team. But stats look rather pedestrian. But again, I think that's not a reflection on them. It's a reflection on how difficult their schedule has been this season.
Yeah, I agree. I guess, yeah, just looking at their ranks, I guess, from what I can tell, looks like, yeah, they're the main thing they've got is they are a top, they're top 20 and their opponents fouling the most against them, which is kind of a fun stat. And then they're 22nd in rebound margin. So, like we kind of said, high rebounding team, which all starts that 7-footer who's been cruising with the rebounds. For sure. Yeah. This team, I'll just call out that they had quite the so they played Pontiac, so they had Pontiac in their conference. And the first time they played them, Pontiac was the one seed, and they lost by 46. Utter just blowout. However, they beat them by one to get their conference championship. So quite the comeback after getting completely humiliated earlier in the season. So just better
Yeah,
call that
it
out.
is. I mean, they played 18 games, and I'm just scanning their schedule. 12 out of their 18 games, coach, are against teams with top 100 power rankings. So, again, testament to their schedule, and they split those. It looks like 6-6 against that opposition. So again, they're a team that statistically may not blow you away, but again, they're used to being tested, and they're not going to be intimidated no matter who they play.
For sure, yeah. Yes, we can move to Montpelier here. It all kind of starts with Willie Walker and Freeman Tyson, who are the two main scorers here. Very efficient. Just a good looking squad here. Not as strong a strength of schedule as the Dayton's got, but definitely nothing to look too sad at. Either. I guess you got any thoughts here first?
Yeah, coach, you kind of hinted at it. I really like the construction that Coach Ruszczak has of his team. So again, you've got the shooting guard small forward combo that you mentioned, Tyson and Walker. Those two are scoring almost 50 points a game by themselves. You've got the point guard who's basically a walking double double, 10 points, 10 games. So he's kind of a third scoring option, but he obviously is the one getting the ball where it needs to go. And then you look inside in the post, and you get a couple of big men that between them are, blocking almost 6 shots a game. As a team that blocked 12 and a half shots a game, that's got to be up at the top.
First.
Yep, had to be at the top of the league. So you've got those inside shot blockers and intimidators, wing scorers, and kind of a do-it-all point guard. So I love the way that his starting five is constructed. Then you look at his bench, and if you look at a per 30 basis, boy, he's got an effective set of five players on his bench, between 10 and 19 game scores on a per 30, got some size on the bench. I'm kind of wondering how this team lost 4 games. They almost look underseeded to me, I guess, is my initial reaction. They look like a pretty scary team in a nine slot.
Oh, I would agree. Yes, that yeah, person blocks is always fun. Nicholas Cordera is sixth in assists, and then you got Willie Walker, who's fourth in points. The only thing that's kind of strange about this team is so they are, let's see here, 14th in rebounds. Or 13th in total rebounds. However, you just look at their total rebounds and like, your center's got 8, and then your power forward's got 6.5, but then you got two guards that have 5, 4.5, and then 3, 3.5 for kind of an all the squad's kind of all together. And then you got backups that are rebounding well too. I guess there's some play going on with minutes. At that bench position, which I guess probably deflates the starters a little bit. Yeah. Per 30 looks a lot better, but Yeah, it's kind of an interesting kind of run with the two guys kind of in lower being not playing the whole game, but playing time. So.
Yeah, it looks like those four post players. I mean, you've got three seniors and a junior there, so a lot of experience. And looks like coach wants to make sure they all see plenty of time on the floor. They stay fresh. I even look at Wilkes, he's a 7 foot backup senior center, not even on a per 30 basis, just 17 minutes a game. He's got almost three block shots a game too. So those big men just kind of run in and out in waves. They stay fresh, and then, like I said, the backcourt and the wings do the ball handling and scoring. So
Yeah.
again, I really like how this team is constructed. They just, to me, they look pretty dangerous as a nine.
Definitely. Yeah, he actually switched Wilkes and Whitney last year. Wilkes has been the starting center for 3 seasons, and Whitney was his backup, and now he flipped them. So, kind of a fun little thing there. But yeah, Block City between the most. Can't complain either way. So, yeah, that's a fun match. That'll be a fun matchup for sure. Moving on to the 4-13, we have the Boise Potato Sacks out of Conference 21. They won their regular season and their conference tournament, which gets them the 4 seed. And then you got the Dover Illuminati at Conference 15. We're the second seed in their conference tournament, and then won against the yeah, what beat their the top here. So
Yeah, let's start with Boise, the 4 seed. Another one of those teams that you're used to seeing their name called when it comes time for selection Friday, I guess, as it were. You look at this team looks like one that's built on defense. Give up barely 40% shooting from the field, only 64 points a game. So there's certainly a defensive first mindset there. 9 steals, 9 blocks a game. So they've got and they force 13 turnovers a game, so they can take it away from you, or they can swat it away inside. Again, another team with a couple of big men there that are defensive oriented rebounders and shot blockers. So again, you like that construction. And again, they've got three players that can score. Primarily that newcomer, that big shooting guard, Sergio Blake, looks like not necessarily maybe the most efficient scorer in the world, but certainly their leading scorer. And then they've got support there also from McKinney and Lay, inside outside. So kind of a more balanced scoring, but a very defensive first team, it looks to me like, coach.
Definitely. Yeah, context is that they are, what is it here? Defense is, they are, is there 52 in here? 252 teams?
256.
256. All right. They are 11th in 11th best in true shooting defense. So, very, very good. Especially with a good strength of schedule for sure. Yeah, this team, yeah, they score, they play good defense and they score. Yeah, the efficiency isn't quite there. You'd love to see Sergio be a little bit more efficient. But they've got enough passing kind of around that it seems like it's kind of made up for it. So I think this team should do fine. Yeah, the freshman class. I keep looking at Elvin McKinney. I think I was debating about jumping on him, but I decided to go against for whatever reason. And wish now looking at him. Yeah, wish I would have went for him. But that's how it rolls. So.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd notice on this team, coach, I'm a little surprised their rebounding margin isn't better. They're just what, plus 1.4. They got a big guy, 6'11" center, and 6'7", 6'8", 6'8", outside of the point guard. So they've got decent size there. I'm just a little surprised their margins aren't better. It looks like their bench maybe doesn't help them a lot with that. But if you're looking for an area, I guess, to nitpick a little bit, again, it doesn't seem like they're as strong there as you might otherwise think. But again,
Yeah, for
offensively,
sure.
maybe not that most efficient, but they're not going to beat themselves, less than 10 turnovers a game. So they take care of it, and they win with defense, and there's more than one way to win in this game. So
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is a little interesting. I didn't realize that because since their efficiency isn't super high, and also so they're missing a few more extra shots, and then they're defensive oriented, so other team is missing shots, and yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, the rebound margin wouldn't be higher, but or just rebounds in general. But I mean, Pinier is doing great down there with almost 12, so
yep.
overall, not gonna complain. Yeah. So then we got Dover, the Dover Illuminati here. I guess initial thoughts there.
Yeah, so you look at Dover, it's a squad that from a recruiting ranking standpoint, other than the senior class, either average or the junior classes are was a tough year. So you look at that, but then you look at a team that finished 15-3. So, maybe punching above their weight a little bit. They did have a weak schedule, fourth weakest schedule in the country. But again, they most of the time they did come out and take care of business. When you look at this team again, they have a fairly impressive statistical profile. From a shooting differential, really strong, again, a solid rebounding team. Team again, 9 turnovers. So another team, just like Boise, they're not going to beat themselves at all there. Outscoring teams by 20 a game, again, probably more a factor of who they've played, maybe more so than how they've played. But again, they've got a couple of capable scorers in Jones and Wise. Baker is a third option, and even their post players have a respectable offensive game. But the thing that stands out to me is Rios, that center. A guy that's really handles the ball well. I mean, he's second on their team in assists, which is always kind of neat to see out of a center. And over 3 blocks and a steal and a half a game. So a good passing defensive big man is always a nice asset to have. What do you think of these guys?
Yeah, they're really efficient, which is really nice. And I mean, we just talked about Dayton, who the 8-9 matchup or whatever, and they only lost to them by 6. And looks like, just out of curiosity, yeah, they were close. I mean, within the last 10, they were within 3 points. So it's and almost took the tied and took the lead with 5 minutes left. So that's kind of their one matchup that they really played anybody really high that have high rank, and they almost beat them. They beat Jersey in a kind of a overtime matchup, but then right after they almost beat Dayton, they took a really great weird loss to a 215 team, which I think kind of put muted there, coming off of a real close game against Dayton. But yeah, it's hard to tell. Like you said, their strength of schedule is really low, but very efficient team, plays good defense, and so you can't control who you play. Who knows? This team might just come out swinging and make this game interesting. But yeah, Boise's got a ton of defense for that strength of schedule, so might be a little bit of a slugfest of 40% shooting both ways.
Yeah, that's kind of I think this could be a game in the 60s pretty easily. So
Yeah. Moving to the 5-12, we got the Cooperstown Gloves, the Conference Four. They were won their regular season, however, fell short in the tournament, finishing with the 2 seed. Then we got the New York City Lazarus Effect. They were a 3 seed in their conference, finished 5th, but had enough. I think they were one of probably the last at-larges. Kind of that slid in here. There was a yeah. If they're not the last, they're one of the last. They're ranked 43. So, I guess initial thoughts between Cooperstown here and New York City. Starting with Cooperstown, I guess.
yeah, so start coach with Cooperstown as the 5, Coach Ian Munutter. Again, a pretty regular mainstay in the NTT. So you look at his team, you've got, I don't know, the Robertson brothers or cousins or who you have there, Colton and Seth, and which is kind of interesting. But this is a one of those teams that's pretty balanced. It's an offensive team. They're scoring 87 points a game and four starters in double figures. So the senior Robertson, Seth Robertson, looks like the kind of the lead dog from an offensive standpoint. He's very efficient, and honestly, their whole team is very efficient. They don't turn it over. 57% true shooting as a team. 9 out of their 10 players are over 50%, and most of them well over 50%. So this is definitely an offensive minded team, and again with good balance. We've got not tremendous size, maybe adequate size inside, but again, their starting post players block four shots a game and have two steals a game between them, and they've got a nice rebounding margin. So again, the team's maybe not an obvious star, maybe it's Seth Robertson, but a pretty balanced team that probably has a lot of different ways to beat you.
Yeah, definitely. The combo of Seth Robertson and also Andrew Walker, who is stupid effective. I think, yeah, true shot sixth, which when you're scoring 17 points per game, that's actually very good. So yeah, the kind of the three man combo, well, four man really. This team is really, yeah, like you said, balanced. Their strength of schedule is nothing too high, but like we kind of said before, can't control who you play. They almost beat an Albany team who was ranked 33rd by three, but then took an uncharacteristic loss probably to a Bethlehem Rangers team who was 150th, but took care of business everywhere else. But yeah, definitely a good team. Be interested to see if they play somebody who's taller. I don't know how if they play tall teams in Conference Four. Not sure there, but if they're gonna have to make sure to make all their shots, which with the as high of efficiency as they can, they probably can. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so let's talk about their opponent a little bit, the 12 seed New York City. And you were talking about them being one of the last teams in. They were, in fact, the last team in. So they were the final at-large team. I know their coach is pretty active, Coach Go OSUTR, pretty active on the boards, and he's been really frustrated with his team at times this year. We played them in the PNTT, as a out of pool play opponent. So I remember scouting them, and there's definitely talent on this team, and obviously that stops and starts with Eric Brown, just a big time scoring shooting guard that they have, 26 points a game. I remember being worried of how the heck we were going to slow that guy down, and we didn't, and neither did anybody else. So
Yeah.
he's you sometimes in this tournament you look for stars, and he's got star quality, no question about it. Some decent support from Mathis and Kane as some secondary scorers on their team. I think he plays with his lineup a little bit too and shifts some things around, so can be a little bit hard to tell. And I think in some comments he was still kind of trying to play with his lineups toward the end of the season to figure something out. So Coach, I think this is a team that either they could flame out early, or if Brown gets hot, I think they could carry him maybe on a surprising run. I think this might be the hardest team for me to figure out. And I'd like to hear what you think about these guys.
Yeah, it looks like they've kind of been toying with the center position. So they had Jonathan Harris starting at, so he's been kind of he's been back and forth. He's been set, he's center freshman year, power forward the last two. Then kind of mainly played center this year, but now he's kind of popped back in the power forward position. So I'm trying to figure out who they is it Kane here? Who they now are playing? Yeah. They moved Kane from who they had at small forward and then moved him to center the last two games. Still probably still trying to toy with some things. Yeah, it took a kind of a weird loss to that Worcester Italian Mafia in their conference. And yeah, you'd think It's frustrating when you've got so much talent lying around, or at least magazine talent, we should say. And I know I played them too, first game, and didn't know what was gonna come out. They beat us too, so yeah, they've got it's just so much talent. It's annoying when that talent doesn't show up the way you think it should. So yeah, I don't have much really to add to you other than I can understand his pain some days that this league just doesn't work out the way you think it is. You got a plus eight guy that like just sucks, and you're like, why are you just you just look at him on your bench and you're just like, come just do something, would you?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think there are times that some teams and some seasons you feel like you're trying to push the right buttons all year, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. But again, I think this is a team that if he does click and does get things going, the talent is there. And like I said, they could be one and done, or honestly, they're a Final Four caliber talented team. I mean, they could make that kind of a run. So that's
Definitely.
the they're to me they're the biggest wild card in this entire region.
For sure. Yeah, 36 seasons for the coach. Been here since the beginning, so got a lot of experience to roll with. So we'll see what he comes up with. Moving on here, we got the Rockford two seed. They are the four. They're at a Conference 14. Coach Future Star won the conference, finished first in their conference championship, two seed. Quite nice run there. And we've got the Owensboro Hammers out of Conference 17, two seed in the conference, but then topped their champion, topped the one seed to get a auto bid in here. Thoughts on Rockford, I guess.
Yeah, Rockford, I know this coach very well. He's my kryptonite in this game. But he's knocked us out of the PNTT 2 years in a row, in I think the semifinals each year, if I remember right. He knocked us out. And then we butt heads in League 37. We're both in Conference 20, and he just absolutely owns me over there. So, and the funny thing is, his teams are kind of built the same in this league and League 37. They are all offense, and they are just ridiculously good. And that's what he's got here. You talk about talent. I mean, you look at the freshman and junior classes, just off the charts good. I mean, that's his starting five. That's not surprisingly all comes from that group. And they're good. I mean, obviously you got the big scorer, Colin Martin, all at the point guard position. Not only can score, he can distribute, and oh, by the way, two steals a game, and 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. So one of the best players in the country. And then you pair him with the wing, Andrew Brothers, just the kind of the classic glue guy that just does everything well, scores, rebounds. Leading assist man, seven assists out of the small forward position, two steals and a block. And then, oh, by the way, you've got this freshman big man, a 7-footer, that scores 17 points a game, grabs 13 rebounds, handles the ball, block shots, steals. I mean, you've got three of the best players in the league in your starting five, and just a ridiculous amount of talent. The shooting guard there, you kind of forget about him, Pinnell, but a really, really solid player in his own right. Just a crazy efficient team. Very good defensive shot blocking, steals, forcing turnovers. I don't know. I mean, sitting here trying to find some sort of weakness, and I'm not finding that. They got size, they've got skill, they've got offense. I'll shut up and let you talk because, like I said, I'm almost shocked they're a two seed, to be honest.
I agree. Number one scoring team in the league. Think, yeah, Colin Martin's fourth in game score, Trevor Jackson's number one in rebounding, no surprise, and eighth in game score. I'd love to just see what Bryce Cheatham, if he played center, he would probably be just as crazy, just as good, at a center position, if he wasn't paired with just such a good, 1-1 partner. I think the only thing you maybe maybe could let's see here point at as a little bit of a eye raiser is they are they have the fifth most fouls. So I guess that's the only thing I can really point at. They also caused the 24th most fouls. So if somehow they get in some foul trouble with some of those starters, like Colin Martin, he does have three fouls a game. That could cause some issues moving forward, being his the leading scorer and kind of the pulse of this team. If he goes down early for some reason, it could make these games interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good catch, coach. It is kind of a surprise, that they do foul as much as they do. But I think that's probably a combination of how they play. They like to get up and down the court. They like to play that man-to-man defense, and so they probably get whistled for some reaching and grabbing and some fouls on trying to block shots. But yeah, that's true. That's a good catch. They would have to rely on their bench, and again, outside of that freshman and junior class. Their sophomore class is not bad, but their senior class is the weakest of the group, and that's their post reserves. So yeah, if you get into their bench in the front court, you might be able to make some hay a little bit. So yeah,
Potentially.
that might be the one weakness. That's a good catch.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. I guess moving on to the opponent, we got Owensboro, the Hammers. Yeah. Not the greatest strength of schedule, not the highest rank, either. Kind of got in with a nice upset win over the Akron Tap Rats. Nice 1-point win, came down. I'm trying to see here. They came back. They were down 9 with 10 minutes left, and then brought it in. And ooh, this is a fun little game. Yeah. They were losing basically the entire game up until the last 37 seconds. They tied it. Then went down by 2 with 11 seconds left. Then Melton Damon, it makes a mid-range shot, gets the and one, makes the and one, and that's it with the desperation heave with 5 seconds left. So quite
Okay.
the nice game out of nice game out of them. Yeah, not the most likely candidate, Damon, to be hit the game winner, but hey, it works. So I don't know. You got anything here?
Yeah, so it is interesting. Again, this team, statistically doesn't blow you away with their profile or strength of schedule, like you said, but the one strong recruiting class they have is the senior group. And you look, and they're in the NTT now for a third consecutive year. So you have to think of the back of those seniors, and all three of them start. Norris, the shooting guard, Carter, a very undersized power forward, and Swain, an undersized center. So they're not a big team, but they are a very balanced team. All five starters between 9 and 17 points a game, very consistent game scores among all five of them. So they've made it work with that lineup, a smaller, undersized lineup. I think the scary thing probably there is their guards on the bench aren't bad, but boy, outside of that, and you get into their front court there on their bench, that's where the lack of depth on their roster shows up. And again, when you're looking at the opponent that they have in Rockford and all that size and skill, I'd be really worried about running 6'5", 6'5", 6'8" against those big guys. That's probably going to be a pretty tough matchup. But again, kudos to the coach. 3 straight years getting in the tournament with, again, not the strongest recruiting classes you've seen. So he obviously has been able to push the right buttons and figure his team out. So props to him for that.
Definitely. Yeah, the one thing that this team does really well is steals. They're eighth in steals this year, with Henry Johnson scoring ninth, ninth most. However, they're playing Rockford, who on the other side has the 10th, 11th least turnovers. So probably not going to make a bunch up there with some cheap extra possessions. So tough first draw for Owensboro. Let's see here. We got the 7-10 here. We got Flagstaff Whippersnapper and Norman Tech Laser Gators. Love that name. We got Flagstaff out of Compass 32. They had their regular season, but then lost their, I'm guessing, first game.
Second, both apparently.
Yeah, both. Yeah, first and second game. So sad little end to a very good season otherwise. And then you got Norman Tech Laser Gators out of Compass 24, 2 seed, finished fifth. One of the at-large bids at rank 37. So yeah.
Yeah,
Your
so it's.
thoughts?
Yeah, let's look at Flagstaff first. The Whippersnappers, one of the better names in the league there. So again, despite the disappointing conference tournament, they played a very strong schedule. They're ranked 26th, and their strength of schedule is 26th. So 12-6 record, but definitely against some very good competition. You look at this team statistically again as you kind of look at team totals. There's not a lot that really jumps off the page at you. No real huge advantages. They're another team that doesn't beat themselves, less than 10 turnovers a game, so they take care of it. And they're another team, we've seen several of these coaches that have a really balanced scoring. Four starters between 10 and essentially 19 points a game. So, a lot of different players that can hurt you without an obvious superstar necessarily among the bunch. Just kind of one of those teams that take that balanced approach, and that can certainly work. Good size, you've got a 7-1. I remember Chance Clark. I recruited him a little bit, so I can remember him. That he's a freshman who's done a nice job in the post, and then an experienced power forward next to him and Watkins. So just kind of a nice, well-balanced team. Nothing really jumps off the page and stands out, but they again, they're used to playing really strong competition. So
Yeah,
sometimes
definitely.
hurts your stats a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's the only thing in the top 10 that they have, or really the top 50 they have, is free throws. Their sixth highest free throw percentage. So if they get in a close game, they'll hit them. But yeah, that's about it for top 50. For this team. So yeah, like you said, well balanced team. Yeah, just looking at their schedule, though they played a pretty hard, tough schedule, besides they it seems like the top end teams they played, like Santa Fe, Yuma, and Boise, they lost all of them, and then they took care of business with Albany, who and Phoenix, who are top 50. But then did come back after losing the Santa Fe and Yuma the first time, then they beat them. And yeah, just some tough looks like, so they lost their first one, but so did Phoenix. So then they had to play Phoenix and then ended up losing to them too. So kind of tough combo, wombo combo sort of Flagstaff in the conference tournament. But yeah, we'll see how this team does. Obviously battle tested, but yeah. Just moving to Norman here. We've got, yeah, the their strength schedule, not too bad, kind of middle of the road. They beat a good Omaha team, and then they split up with a good Omaha team, and a couple uncharacteristic interesting losses to a Cheyenne and Bloomington team. Score well, but also balanced, sort of like you were saying, with this Flagstaff team. I guess, what do you think here?
Yeah, so this is in Norman. This is a program that's another one of those teams that's in the NTT about every year. Very active coach on the message board. Coach Strategy 9000 is out there and posting quite a bit. So yeah, it's kind of similar in a lot of ways, I think, to Flagstaff, their opponent, as you mentioned, very even maybe even more balanced offensively than Flagstaff. You know, all their players between what 16 and 9 points a game in the starting lineup. Kind of the same thing, nothing from a statistical profile. You just kind of glance at that that jumps off the page. Maybe the steals would be the one. 10 steals a game as a team, as a bunch. So they're a team that'll take the ball away from you. No doubt about that. And you look at all five starters are, you know, better than a steal a game. So it can come from anywhere on the floor. So both their offense and their defense can come from all five. So makes them a little bit of a tricky team to prepare for and try to figure out how to attack. So it just kind of looks to me like a couple of similar teams in what probably should be a very, very even first round matchup.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that they had the fourth most steals, seventh most caused turnovers, and then their top 20 and most fouls drawn. All right, so that's kind of, I guess, what Norman rolls with at least. So might could be kind of a fun matchup. If it'd be really interested to see did they draw that many fouls if they were playing a different team than Flagstaff, who also is really balanced. If you had a good matchup with some dominant, you know, dominant scorer who could get into some foul trouble, could be a could have been a fun combo, but don't think they have to worry too much there. Moving on to the 314, we got your team. You, yeah, 17-1, 12, ranked 12. Not the highest strength schedule in the world, but can't control who you play. Conference 28 champion, in the regular season and conference tourney there. So congratulations on both of those. And you got, yeah, your opponent, Vicksburg Blue Rage, who's conference 9. They were 4 seed, finished first. 12-6, 64 ranked, 160 strength of schedule. I'll let you take the reins on this one, I guess.
Yeah, I'll talk about my team coach and then punt it back to you and let you as an outsider kind of give your view. But you know, this group, like you said, the first thing that stands out is yeah, our strength of schedule this year is not very good. Our conference 28 has been down a little bit in recent years. Now, that being said, Huntington Beach was an outstanding team in our conference. We met them 3 times and including the conference title game, and we just edged by them by 2 to win the conference tournament. So they're a 5 seed in the tournament. So we had them 3 times, but outside of that, we did not have the strongest schedule. So that always does concern me, whether it's with any other team or my own, how you do when you're not tested a whole lot. So we'll find out. You know, my team this year is also kind of like we've said on a lot of them, pretty balanced. You know, we basically have 3 primary scorers, but you know, all 5 that are capable of scoring. And you know, we're a team that's pretty talented in terms of plus minus ratings across the roster. So our bench, you know, on a per 30 basis is pretty strong. You know, we really don't turn it over. We're a team that really takes care of the ball. That's probably, in my opinion, our best attribute. That and our rebounding. Besides our rather weak schedule, my biggest concern with this team is outside of Longoria, we're not big at all. We don't have much size. Well, we've rebounded really well despite that. But again, is that more a factor of who we've played as opposed to that being a strength of the team? You know, we're pretty efficient offensively and balanced, but like I said, we're small. So that worries me if we run up against a team that's got really good size other than, you know, just at our center position. So I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, definitely. Strength, like you said, strength schedule isn't too high, but you are in the P, you did run the PNET. Didn't get the highest matchups there, but you did beat the New York City Lake Effect and then the Ames team who made their first NTT this season. You beat them both handedly or pretty well at least. Close, you know, played Huntington, who's kind of your main competition, but got 2 out of the 3, so can't complain there too much. Handle business the way you should. Love to see Chase Elrod with 2 blocks in the power forward position. to pair with Longoria. I'm guessing a good amount of athleticism there to pair. But yeah, a little small, but you make up for it a little bit in your small forward position, 6'6", which is decent. He's been rebounding pretty darn well from that position. So yeah, efficient two shooters. All your plus minuses are all in the every starter is top 25, which you can tell from your plus, when you're taking care of business, 23 points per game margin. That really helps. So no, definitely a strong team. I have no complaints.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about my opponent a little bit. Vicksburg, Coach Marshazi, he's got the Blue Rage, the 14 seed, as you mentioned. Probably earned their way in by winning their conference tournament, so props to them. When you look at this team, they've got, from a recruiting standpoint, they've got, kind of an average class. They've got two really tough classes, and then the junior group is terrific. So I think that's the trio that if you're me, that you've got to look out for. And if you look at them, those are their three scorers, all three of them. A couple guys in the backcourt, and then the big guy inside. So it clearly is a team driven by those three players. Maybe not the best depth in the world, as you can see from those other recruiting classes, but a team that plays pretty decent defense. They rebound it really well. They also take care of the ball, so I think there's enough there that they can most certainly push us and give us a hard time, especially if those three juniors play well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, nothing too crazy to statistically, other than Jared Johnson's 17th in game score, which is quite good. Like you said, it runs through those freshmen, and yeah, if they can let Jared Johnson those and take off, and at 60% true shot could probably handle, I imagine he's got games. I'll just see here out of my own curiosity this year. Yeah, he's pushed it. He hasn't pushed. He's got a 30 and a 40-point game. If he can push up and carry this team forward, I think that'd be my main threat. Alphonso Barnes obviously is scoring decent too, but not as efficient. So, yeah, Vicksburg's they're fun. They're kind of the boom or bust recruiting squad for the last couple seasons here, and they boomed with that junior class, and they may boom here coming up here in a couple Saturdays. So,
Yeah, well, and again, they've been here now, what, 4 out of the last 5 seasons in the tournament. So they're no strangers to this. And again, they've got talent, especially in that trio, and they've got some, adequate size inside, and pretty efficient among their five starters, especially. So I think probably the key for us is if we can get one or two of those guys in foul trouble, that'll really help. But if we can't, and if play well, I think we might have to sweat one out here in the first round. So
yeah, for sure. Moving to the 6'11", we got the Hershey Colts at the Conference One, coached by Andrew Luck 12, number one, and there's a regular season champion and conference champion, 19th rank. I mean, good all around, and they're playing the Yakima Striders, who were the famous back-to-back NTT championships. Still rolling with some of those guys still left over. At least one of them is still left over from there. So I guess initial thoughts on the Hershey here.
Yeah, we'll start with Hershey. Coach Andrew Luck, after his retirement from football, is doing pretty well as a DTL coach. So I'm looking forward to this first round game, Coach, maybe more than any in the entire tournament. I think this one's going to be a lot of fun. Might not be the prettiest game in the world, but to me, both of these teams, and we'll start with Hershey, but the inside, these guys have a pair of freshmen come in, big men. That between them are blocking over 8 shots a game. all what 22 rebounds a game between the two of them. So there's a couple horses inside. And then you look at the at the scoring, where does it come from? Well, it comes from the backcourt and the wing. So those three offensively in their backcourt, Leo Boone and Stevens can fill it up. So they're responsible for the offense. The big men clean the glass and play defense. So, and that's kind of a way I think when we look at Yakima here in a minute, you're going to see some similarities, which I think is what's going to make this a really fun game. But, this is a program that, these guys, geez, they give up 39% shooting from the floor. They out rebound their opponent by 9, 12 blocks a game. This is a scary defensive team.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, which like you said, makes it kind of a fun matchup here. Yeah, they have a lot of firepower coming out of those other two position, other three positions. Francis Boone, crazy good, pretty good efficiency. James Neal also very efficient, and then yeah, Anthony Steffens can handle his own weight. Yeah, but not the most efficient, but. He may just kind of be that third guy that takes, they kind of bump his shots up and down depending on the matchup. But yeah, definitely fun, especially when like we'll peek into Yakima here, who traditionally has been the defense domination for many seasons here, led by Dante Martinez, who still is around. It's finally his last season, guys. We're almost through. It's been a wild ride of that. But yeah, 11.7 rebounds, which is his average for his career. A little low on blocks actually this year. Only at four when his average for his career is 4.8. So oh shuck darn, I guess he's washed up. But no, good.
These. Yeah,
Yeah,
don't
good.
these guys kind of look like mirror images of each other? I mean, you've got the,
Spider-Man
yeah,
meme.
yeah. Oh, that's absolutely right. The Spider-Man staring each other down. So, yeah, you've got mirror images. I mean, Martinez is one of the all-time defensive players in this league, in my opinion. Like I said, he's here for his last year. He's won a pair of titles. And then you've got Dockery and Dixon in the backcourt. Those guys are the scorers. So the teams are just built eerily similar to one another, and they're both defense first. First one to 60 might win this one. It's probably gonna it's gonna depend on, do any of those big guys get in foul trouble, or which backcourt tandem can do the scoring. Hershey does have kind of a third option, as you mentioned, in scoring. Does that give them a little advantage?
Yeah.
Maybe, but Yakima's got the pedigree too. So like I said, this is my favorite first round matchup. And also, I'm sitting there looking at one of these teams staring at me if I'm fortunate enough to win my first rounder. And so I got to figure out, if we win, how the heck do we deal with one of these two? So,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah,
the
it's definitely gonna be a fun one. It's gonna be an interesting game because yeah, I think it actually is probably gonna be whoever gets 60, honestly, might win because they don't yet, and neither team shoots threes either.
no.
You've got Yakima, whose two starters are averaging four threes a game, five as a team, and then you got Hershey, who's averaging 6.5 a game. So, they've kind of played inside, and both these teams' defense is all inside. So, yeah, I was wondering if three pointers were going to be if either team had shot some threes in their past, but no, it looks like it's just going to be the centers are going to each have 8 blocks each, and see who who can score just enough. So,
Yeah.
but yeah. Good region in general, I guess. Overall thought and who might take this, or yeah,
Yeah. Obviously it's a little tough for me to be objective with my team in
definitely.
the region, but I think I kind of gushed over Rockford, and again, they've kind of been my kryptonite in this game, as has Yakima. So they're both on my half of the bracket. So I think whoever wins that Hershey Yakima game is probably going to give, again, if my team can win, probably going to give us a tough time. I'm not sure I like that matchup. I really like Rockford. And if you're looking for a sleeper in this group, I'm looking at Montpelier. I just like how that team is built. Salt Lake City's awfully talented, but I think Montpelier, if they win their first one, they can match up with them. So I'm kind of thinking that this might come down to I think Rockford's too talented on the bottom half, so I'm going to say maybe a Rockford Montpelier Elite Eight if I had to take a guess. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be fun. I would love to see a Rockford Yakima or a Rockford Hershey matchup. You know, you got both those starting that 1-1 freshman class of the two big men, also with the come-ups of, you know, Hershey and Yakima. It's very post-centric bottom here, which is kind of tends to be it definitely helps. Yeah, I got good posts. I also really like Boise. With their defensiveness, this region's whole got a whole lot of defense. So I might take Boise actually as a kind of a fun roll through here on that top half. I do like Salt Lake. I think you know Hayden Garcia and Maxwell Williams are gonna give everything they've got. They score a ton, but there is just a ton of defense going on here, and I just don't know if Salt Lake has enough defense to keep up with some of these super defensive teams. I think that's my only concern there.
Yep, and yeah, and the other one I'll point out, I still kind of wonder about New York City. I still think that that's a team that, again, if they figure out the lineup, I still think they can be scary. So I'd keep an eye on them as a low seed too.
Definitely. Well, that's what we got for region two. We'll probably be back with region two again.